Greetings. This is John O'Gwen for the Living Church of God. And today we're continuing our survey of the former prophets, going through the book of Joshua. And as we had come up through to Joshua chapter 4, where Israel is now preparing to cross the Jordan River. God has miraculously opened up the Jordan River, the priests standing with the ark in the middle of the river, and now they began to come across. Joshua chapter 4 tells of that, and there were 12 men chosen out from the 12 tribes. And we read of that here in Joshua chapter 4 and in verse 4. These 12 men were told, as the people had crossed the river, that they were to take 12 stones from the bottom of the Jordan River, which of course was now empty because God had miraculously parted the water. And they were then to come up after the people. They were to emerge, each of them carrying one of these stones. And once they had emerged from the bed of the Jordan River, then the priest bearing the ark came up from the bed of the Jordan. And then it was as though a great giant invisible hand were removed, because now the Jordan flowed back down and became a river at flood stage, as it was normally at this time of year. Now, the purpose of bringing carrying these stones up out of the river was that there on the riverbank, these stones were piled up and they made a heap or an altar. It was a memorial. It was to remind the children of Israel that God, the great God of the universe, had miraculously opened up the way of the Jordan and had made it possible for them to enter into the promised land. Their ability to inherit, to receive the promises that God had made, was as a result of God's intervention, God's blessing, and so it is with us. You and I, on our own, cannot achieve what God has called us to do. On our own strength, we are unable to grasp and to take the promises, to receive the promises, on the basis of simply our own strength and energy. But God's power enables us to fulfill what he's called us to do. So Joshua chapter 4 tells that. And then in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 19, we're told that the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. So they are now there right on the west bank of the Jordan River, still east of Jericho. Chapter 5 tells the story that as the surrounding peoples heard what had happened, the Canaanites and the Amorites and the various nations, that their heart melted. This is Joshua chapter 5 and verse 1. Their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. This great miracle of God actually opening up the river and bringing his people across, that great miracle, of course, spread news of it. Now, at this time, God instructed Joshua that sharp knives were to be made to circumcise the children of Israel. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and his descendants. During the course of the 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelite babies had not been, the little boy babies had not been circumcised during that time. But now, as they prepared to inherit the promised land, to actually enter in the promised land, it was necessary that they take upon themselves the sign of the covenant that God had made with their forebearer Abraham. So Joshua oversaw the circumcision of the children of Israel, and that's actually where the name Gilgal comes from. It is derived from a term in the Hebrew that refers to the cutting or the circumcision. And so we're told that now the children of Israel, verse 6, had walked 40 years in the wilderness. You know, when they had the opportunity to have entered the promised land almost 40 years earlier, actually 39 years earlier, when they had opportunity to enter the promised land at that time, they had not. If you remember the story recorded back in the book of Numbers, Moses had sent 12 spies into the land. And two of the spies, Joshua, the one that we're studying here, along with Caleb, brought back a good report. The other 10 spies discourage the people by saying that, yes, the land that God has promised is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful place, but they're giants in the land. We'll never be able to achieve what God has called us to do. We'll never successfully enter the promised land because they're giants that are there. So we find that the result was the people allowed fear to take over. They were scared, and God said, all right, because you didn't believe me, you will wander 40 years in the wilderness. The generation I brought out of Egypt will die in the wilderness, and it'll only be the next generation that'll enter into the promised land. So after the circumcision, the Lord said, verse 9, said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. So the name of the place is Gilgal. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. They had crossed, as we had seen earlier, chapter 4, verse 19, on the 10th day of the first month. That was when they crossed the Jordan River. They were circumcised immediately afterward, and now on the 14th day, as the evening began that day, from a biblical standpoint, days always begin in the evening. So from the time right after sunset that began the 14th day, the children of Israel then kept that Passover. Now we find something interesting. Verse 11 says, the next day they ate of the grain of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Now God had given instructions back in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 23, when he brought Israel out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness, and God began to instruct them about his festivals. His festivals outlined the very plan and purpose that God has for mankind. And he instructed them in the early part recorded in Leviticus 23. He instructed them that they were to celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And then the following day, the 15th day of the first month, was to be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And for 7 days, they were to eat unleavened bread. Then at that point, the statement was added in. We can read it back in Leviticus chapter 23, where God told them, told Moses to tell them, rather, in verse 9 and 10 of Leviticus 23, that God told Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you're come into the land which I give you and shall reap the harvest, then bring a sheaf or an omer of the first fruits of your harvest unto the Lord, and wave this omer of grain before the Lord to be accepted. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And he said that in verse 14, you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears until the same day you have brought an offering unto your God. Now, for 40 years, God has been miraculously feeding the Israelites through manna. Every day, the manna came, and the Israelites gathered it every day except the weekly Sabbath. On the day before the weekly Sabbath, Friday, as we would call it, the preparation day, a double portion of manna fell, and the people were able to gather enough for 2 days. So for 4 years, they have been miraculously fed. They've now crossed the Jordan River, been circumcised. On the 14th day, they observe the Passover. Then we're told the next day, which would, of course, be the first day of unleavened bread. The Passover is the 14th. The first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th. We're told the next day they ate unleavened cakes, and they ate parched grain. They ate of the grain that was growing in the land, but what did they have to do before they ate of it? God had instructed in Leviticus 23 a ceremony that could not be carried out during the 40 years in the wilderness, but now, as soon as they've entered the land, the very first thing they did on that day, which was the first day of unleavened bread, because very clearly this year, the morrow after the Passover was not only the first day of unleavened bread, it was also the day on which the wave sheaf was offered, the morrow after the Sabbath, or Sunday, as we would call it, the first day of the week. In this particular year, the calendar was such that the Passover was observed on the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of unleavened bread this particular year came on a Sunday, which was the also the day of the wave sheaf. We know that. This example makes it very clear because the Israelites had been told, when you come into the land, this is what you do. They had just come into the land. This is what they did. They began to now eat of the harvest, and we're told, verse 12, the manna ceased. Now a remarkable event occurred that is right here in the last three verses of this chapter. Joshua was near Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and he saw a man standing there. And the man had a sword drawn. And Joshua said, are you for us or against us? So Joshua was a bold fellow. God had told him, be strong and courageous. Joshua saw this individual with a drawn sword, and so he said, are you for us or against us? And he said, verse 14, no, but as captain of the hosts of the Eternal am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he says, what says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Eternal's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoes from off your foot. The place whereon you stand is holy. Now, if you remember, 40 years earlier, over 40 years earlier, when God first began to reveal himself to Moses through the burning bush, he told Moses, take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Now, that's what we read right here, because the very same one that revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush now reveals himself to Joshua as the captain of the hosts of the Lord. You see, Joshua wasn't the real captain. God was. Now, the city of Jericho was very quickly shut up, and Joshua and the children of Israel were told to encompass the city. This was not a regular routine attack, as we would think of it. Rather, they were told the priests were to take the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were to go forth bearing trumpets, ram's horns. The people were to follow them, and they were to go out and encompass the city one time. But they were to do this each day for 7 days. These were the 7 days of unleavened bread that had just started, as described right here. But on the seventh day, they were to do something differently. They were to go out, they were to circle the city, the priests were to blow the trumpet, the people were to be silent. But then, on the seventh day, they were to go around the city once, and then again, and then again. They were to go around the city 7 times. And at the end of that 7 times, the priests blew the trumpets, the people shouted, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. A remarkable event. And we have that described in great detail, that when Joshua told the people, recorded in chapter 6 and verse 16, at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Eternal has given you the city. And then he instructed them that the city was to be recognized as placed under a curse, that everything was to be destroyed, certain items were to be dedicated to God, but they were not to enrich themselves in any way from this city. This was the beginning of their entrance into the promised land, and it was wholly dedicated unto God. God performed a great miracle. The city was completely destroyed. The walls collapsed. Every man went straight forward from where he was. The only part of the wall that didn't collapse was, well, you guessed it, the part where Rahab lived. She and her family were protected. The area where they were was not did not fall down. But Israel came in. They destroyed the city, destroyed everything there. And in verse 24, we're told they burned the city with fire. Everything there, and all the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Rahab and her family was saved, and now we set the stage for what comes next, the inheritance of the promised land. And we'll go into that next time. And so, until next time, This is John Owen for the Living Church of God.